49. This is when Jacob called his sons together. He's about to die, and he's called his 12 sons together to talk to them and to give them his blessing, to bequeath inheritance, birthright, and things like that. Some interesting things in this passage. Judah, the scepter, and Shiloh and Judah, and Joseph, obviously some special things there. But we see here at the beginning of his speech to his sons, in Genesis 49, verse 1, it says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." And then he starts out with Reuben, verse 3. "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power." Let me read that again. "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellence of dignity and the excellency of power." I don't know, but maybe Reuben started to stick out his chest a little bit, you know, and stand a little taller. And then verse 4, Jacob kept going. "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, thou defilest thou it, he went up to my couch." And that's it. That's it. Verse 4, "Unstable as water." Unstable as water. You know, I think man is about 60% or maybe 70% water. And water is an interesting thing. It was made by God, and it's a very interesting study. But there's some things about water that I'd like to point out. And I hope that you realize that you don't want to get to the end of your life and have it said that you are unstable as water. Remember, Reuben's the one that didn't want to make waves. Back in chapter 37, when Judah and Simeon and the others were all fired up about killing Joseph and taking him and throwing him into a pit and then killing him, Reuben's the one that said, "Let's not kill him." But he didn't just come out and say, "You guys are wrong." But what he tried to do is compromise and even trick them and hoping to maybe release Joseph when they weren't looking. He just didn't act like the older brother, you know what I mean? He didn't put his foot down and say, "No, this is wrong. We can't kill our own brother." He didn't really forcefully come out and fight them on that. And when he was already sold, he just wept about it, but he didn't beat anybody up or chew anybody out. He just kind of cried, and he just was a compromiser. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know something about water? Water likes everything calm. Water never takes a stand. You know that? Water on its own will not take a stand. Water will instead just even out. That's what water wants to do. And old people and young people are like, we are that way. We're made up of water. We are that way. It's just our way to just kind of even out, to just kind of level out with everybody else. You know, the thing about water is that you can take a perfectly clear, pure glass of water, and you can pour it into a body of polluted water, and then it's gone. It just becomes like the rest of what it is. Here, it's good stuff. But once it's poured out on this floor, I wouldn't drink it. In that flower pot, I wouldn't drink it. Or in the lagoon, I wouldn't drink it. It's in there, but it changes everything. And that's just water. It always mixes with the crowd. It's easily contaminated. And sin looks for sin. They say birds of a feather flock together. That's water, just it seeks its own and it seeks to just level out. Water is what its environment is. And that's just our natural flesh. Our natural flesh, as natural sinful people, we're just powerless to do anything on our own, really. We're just weak. And water is what its environment is. And you'll hear the liberals and the politicians talk about how that if we can just improve their environment. Well, you improve someone's environment, but you can't improve what they are themselves. They'll just seek to the lowest level. Thing about water is, it always goes to the lowest level. You know that? Water always goes to the lowest level. It never goes to the highest level. And that's what human nature does. Well, when water is heated, when you add flame to it, then it boils. But water itself isn't doing it really. It's just water. But it boils because it's being heated up, and we can lose our cool. And the Bible talks about that in Proverbs, about losing your temper and things like that, and getting easily angered and whatnot. And so you can even agitate water and get it to boil. But once you turn off that flame, water just goes back to what it always was. Or you can allow it to freeze and get real cold and hard as ice. But eventually it just goes back to what it was before. I know some of you, you like hot coffee. Some of you, you like iced coffee. But I doubt hardly anybody in here likes room temperature coffee on its own. You know, Revelation chapter 3 says it this way. Revelation chapter 3, and verse number 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Talking to the Laodicean church, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, room temperature, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You make me want to throw up because you're just blah. Water without some outside external help, water is just that. Water goes anywhere and follows anything and seeks the path of least resistance. That's just water. And Jacob says something that's just prophetic. And it's profound. And he talks about Reuben and the potential that Reuben had. But then he says, unstable as water. And I think about ourselves, and I think about my children, and I think about the other children in our church, and I think about all of us as a church family. Are you only what you are because of external influences? And really, by yourself, you're just water. And it's only when someone agitates or someone stirs up or heats up the outside events in your life, do you boil or do you change? Are you just seeking your own level? I'm always concerned as a parent with my children about what they're really like, how they really behave when they're not being manipulated or in the control of their parents and their peer or their authority. I think we can apply this to different things in our lives as children, as teenagers, and as adults. As to what are we like, and how do we behave, and what do we concern? What are we concerned with? Are we just concerned with being equal with everyone? I think about dress. I think about how that. And just a couple weeks ago, I was invited to go to the pastor's house for dinner after church. and I asked, what should I wear? And why is that? Because we just kind of, we're always concerned about being sticking out. You know what I mean? Sticking out. And at the same time, not being offensive or being disrespectful because we underdressed or something like that. Folks, when it comes to a dress standard, though, what is it? What is your standard? What's your motivation? Listen, we're living in a world where it's just real low level. It just is. And I appreciate, you know, I said something to these guys, had ties on this morning. They sang today, maybe that's why, I don't know. But they had ties on this morning, and I appreciate the dressing up. I think it's great. But listen, you know what? It's not just for us. It's not, and we shouldn't just rise to the occasion because we're with this group and then lower ourselves. We should just decide what is the level God would have us to be all the time. I'm not talking about ties, okay? I'm just talking about what is the level we should be all the time. When it comes to ladies and apparel, you know, I've decided that the Bible says a woman should not wear that which pertains to a man. And I was raised that way. When I met my wife, she already had that conviction in her own heart, and we raised our daughter that way. And, you know, at first, I think she, you know, Mom, I stick out. And boy, she did stick out. She still does stick out, I guess, because she just dresses without ever wearing pants. And here in South Dakota and our balmy climate that we have, sometimes people will use the excuse, well, it's cold, and you just have to understand, okay, all right, it is cold, all right? And so, you know, Miss Wilma, she'll even put on, like, snow pants, then put on this great big balloon skirt on top of that. She looks hilarious, but she does her exercise walking around. But young people, younger ladies and younger women, it isn't just about the temperature, because it's skin tight. It's form fitting. Why? First of all, I doubt it's even comfortable that way. Secondly, why? It's not about the warmth. It's about what we look like because of where we're going to be with everybody else, and we're going to stick out. While back, Wilma was at Menards, and an older man came up to her and said, oh, I just appreciate it when I see a lady. Now, Miss Wilma was not dressed to the nines. But why did he say that? You know what I mean? I'm thankful that nobody knows the shape and size and curvature of my wife or daughter. But that's not the reason. The reason is because I want to glorify God, and I believe He would have us to do that way. But when you seek your own level, you're going to do what everybody else is doing. Dinah, one of Jacob's daughter, Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land. And next thing you know, she's defiled. Well, she just wants to be like the girls, the other girls. Wasn't worth it. And that's just one example. But the guys, I mean, what good is it if you're in sports but you're not standing for something? And stop comparing yourself like water does. Stop trying to equal out with the other Christians in town versus the Christians that God's church has led you to know. In other words, stop comparing yourself. Well, I might not measure up the standard that pastor has, but I know Christians across town, and this is what they do. Yeah, but that's not, why are you using them as a standard? Have you not sat in the basketball bleachers and listened to them cuss like sailors? And they go to church on Sunday? Have you not heard some of their kids, boys? Some of you boys, you know, there's boys that go to another youth group in town. But how many of you think that they're really saved based on how they talk? Come on, you know who I'm talking about. They're athletic, so they play a lot of sports. See, years ago, the honeymoon was over when people found out that this preacher wasn't just like all the others. It used to be that everybody else in town brought their kids to our vacation Bible school, and after a while, they were like, It's never been the kids in our town that don't really like Pastor Matt. It's the adults. And some adults that don't want to grow up. And they want to maintain the Christian label without having to excel, just to stay at their own level. Here's the thing about all that. Those little things, and they're not major things, but they are things, they're standards, those things that we have in our life that we say, no, we're going to stand for something now, and we're going to allow God to prop us up and stand us up like we should be and firm us and make us strong, because in our flesh, we're just unstable as water. But we're going to allow God to make something out of us so that we can be effective. And those little things are why now I can trust my daughter to go halfway around the world. I can trust her to do it. Not worried about it. Not worried about her and her attitude or what she might be getting into. I'm not worried about that because I know she fought little battles in her life earlier. And I can trust her to not just seek her own level, but to raise it. You know what Miss Wilma said the other day? I'm not kidding. I think it's this week on Thursday, Caleb's going to fly to Dallas with some group of bonehead, brainyhead people and come back on Saturday. Fly on Thursday, come back on Saturday. You know what Miss Wilma said? She said, I hope that somebody offers him a beer. Why in the world would she say that? I know why she said it. Because she wants him to stand for himself, stand for God for himself, not just when mommy and daddy are around. And folks, people today, they want a pastor that just keeps it level. I'm convinced that a lot of people want a pastor that has lots of dysfunctional problems himself. Why? Because that lowers the level instead of raises the level. You know what I'm saying? And the other day I was in the restaurant with Wilma, and someone from our town walked in, and I knew who they were. I've never talked to them. I knew who they were, and so I smiled, and I just kind of smiled and kind of looked their direction, and I was just going to nod my head. And they just looked like I was invisible. And they've always done that. And I've never had a conversation with them. It isn't because of me. It isn't because of anything I have done personally to them. It's just what I represent. Because people want to be called Christian without having to raise the level or raise the bar or really be a Christian. And I think this particular individual, they have friends that got saved and part of this church now, and they just they don't like that. You know, water seeks its own level, so it's always wanting to compromise. It's always wanting to even out and level out with everybody. There's something I've tried to remember, and that is that. I heard this from, I don't remember where I heard this, but I heard this a long time ago. One attitude when it comes to following a leader or having an authority over you is respectfully following that authority and just and honoring that authority in leadership as being the leader. What happens is sometimes, a lot of times I think, what happens is that we've got our guys. Like, for instance, I drive a school bus. There's the other school bus drivers. It's just the natural thing for all the drivers to talk negative about who? Whoever's their immediate boss or their second boss above that. It's just the natural thing, isn't it? And why? And so there's just this, you know, and there's just that, what, there is that about that. There just is. And it's because we are humans, like chickens. We just peck. And I've noticed something that the proper response when you've been given an instruction, a command, something to do, and then you pass it on to your fellow peers is to say, the boss or dad or pastor or the teacher or coach, they said we need to do this, so we need to do this. And then the grumbling, if it starts, is responded to by the messenger,
hey, it ain't my idea. It's just what he said.
Right? I know that goes on. I've heard it.
Well, we got to do that. I don't know. That's what the pastor said to do.
Just do it. You know what I mean? Just have a... And we all do that. We all tend to be that way. And even me as a bus driver, I'd be careful. Hold it. Now, hold it. Come on. But what the peer pressure is that the majority just wants to stay at their own level and stay low. Don't be like water. Don't be like Reuben. You know, the sad part about it is Reuben, verse 3, he had all this potential. He was the firstborn. He was strong. He had first access to everything. He had all the potential in the world. But you know what he did? He just spilled it. He just wasted it. He just poured it out. I don't want any of that water now. That water I just poured in that dirt, I don't want it. And worse than that, he did this too. Now I don't want any of this water. I don't want to drink it. It's been contaminated with dirt. Young people, everybody is like water. And the thing about it is, we all praise one another. I mean, if you are an athlete, you're a somebody, I guess. If you can shoot a three-pointer, if you can score a touchdown, if you're good at shooting archery, or you're good at wrestling, or you're good at whatever it might be, you have talent and ability, and you can, wow. But the truth is, a lot of people can do that. Democrats can do that. Queers can do that. Queers can shoot three-pointers. Queers can score touchdowns. You know what they can't do, though? They can't stand for God. They can't stand for God. A lot of people can do easy stuff, but you can't. That's not impressive to God. Stand. Stand for something. You take Reuben's life and compare it with Joseph's life. Man, there's something different there. And the only thing different was one of them believed in God. That's why Miss Wilma said, I hope he gets confronted and he has to be making a decision, tough decisions. Because we don't want to just be unstable as water. What good is that? We don't... And if you're always seeking the lowest level, soon as you get a chance, just like water, you let water go, it just puddles down to wherever the lowest spot is. And as soon as you're out in the crowd, you puddle down to the lowest spot. That's what water does. But Joseph, he stood and said, I'm not going to sin against God. I'm going to do what's right. There's a lot of negatives with water. Even in church, the Bible says, quench not the spirit. Water can quench a fire. Maybe you did stand up and sing and someone mocked or made fun of it, besides Max. I remember one preacher. You remember the preacher that was here? He was so sickly, he had to sit in a chair. And he died a few months later. He was a youth pastor in Casper when I was a teenager. He said, you know why? He was talking to us teenagers. He said, you know why you teenagers will never say amen in church? He said, you know why? Because one time you do it, somebody in front of you will go, that'd be the last time you do it. In other words, we get intimidated.
You know why you'll never hand a tract to someone and talk to someone about the Lord and invite them to church? Because as soon as you do, someone will make fun of it and you'll never do it again. Man, just be bold. Don't be like water. Anybody can be like water. All those people out there that are like water, but be different than water. Be something different. Make a difference because you're different. You know what water does? Water stagnates. There's this body of water over in the Bible land called the Dead Sea. It just takes it all in, but it never gives it out. Just lukewarm and just dead. Just so full of minerals that it stinks terrible. You get in it and you float, and when you get out of it, I'm not kidding, you got this slimy crust all over your body. Water. Water has a great purpose. I mean, there's people here that know a lot about water, and it serves a great purpose, but when it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, it just turns dead. How sad if you're like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea gets all this nice, rich minerals and this flowing from the Jordan River, but it never gives it out. And so how sad if you're like the Dead Sea. You're just a body of water. You've been filled up with all this knowledge, this Anchor Club knowledge, and this Sunday school knowledge, and the stuff you've learned, but it's never gone anywhere, and you never give it out, and no one ever benefits from it. It just stinks. And like I've already said, when water is spilled, it's wasted. And it can be easily wasted. And there's many of us in here that can lament about how we wasted some of our water. Got it dirty and spilled it out. But I want to end positively. Let's talk about what water can be used for in good things. You know, obviously, it can be a cleaner. You have the agitator in the washing machine, and you turn that thing on, and it spins around, and it agitates, and it starts to clean. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that cleansing, look over in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Washing of water by the word. You know, if you stay clean, you can help somebody get clean. If you haven't spilled all your clean water out, you can help somebody else get clean. By the way, you don't even know what clean water is until you meet clean water. You see those pictures in Africa, those little kids over there, little black boys drinking out of the mud puddle? You know why that is? That's probably the cleanest water they know of within accessibility. You know why people in our town drink out of mud puddles, spiritually speaking? It's all they know. But if you showed them clean water, and by the way, if you've ever had clean water, you'll never go back to mud puddles, will you? And if you and I don't let the devil trick us into spilling all ours out, we'll be able to show some, here's what clean water looks like. And my children can understand, if they'll realize the importance of not letting Satan waste their water, but keep it clean for God's purpose, they can encourage someone else to be clean in themselves. We talk about separation. The Bible talks about separation. I don't think separation is just so that we can say that we're different. But if you're gonna take, let's say you've got a pond and you want to get some pure water, you don't try to purify the whole pond. You take some of it out and then you work on it. And you try to clean it up and run it through filters and whatever it might be. And you take the impurities and the stuff that's caught in the filter and you throw it out and you keep what's left. But you got to separate it. And unfortunately, and here's why let's just talk about this for a minute. Here's why I don't like the public school system. It has nothing to do with what really they say. It's just the whole idea of the school idea.
If you study it, John Dewey, Horace Mann, these guys were not good people. They were socialists. They were communists. They had a very messed up mindset and liberal mindset. But take school. Take a school of fish. Take a rod and stick it in to where a school of fish is. What happens? How many fish move? The whole school. That's what I'm talking about. School mentality. The whole body moves. It's a system that's broken. Our governor recently suggested that we make every high school student take the entrance test for an immigrant. You know, you ought to be able to know the questions that we ask those wanting to immigrate into our country. And I don't think that's a bad thing for people to know. But you know what? I think it's just silly that we're even to the point where we're even suggesting that they have to know that. Isn't that kind of dumb? I mean, shouldn't we already know that? Shouldn't that be basic knowledge? But the schools are set up to only learn so, and it's just, it's by osmosis, and it's by not even knowing what you're missing out on. And everybody else is doing it. And what happens, friend? What happens? What's happened to education since the Mathesons were teachers to today? What's happened? What has it done? It's gotten lower. It hasn't gotten higher. It's gotten lower. And it's because we get so conditioned to what we're around that we stop realizing the change that there really has been. You see, if we had Christians from 100 years ago walk in the door and sit with us, they'd look around and say, "What's wrong with these guys?" I'm just saying, they would. What's wrong with these guys? And after a while, they'd realize, you know, they don't know any better than what they know. And I'm talking about me too. But when we allow God to use us for good, we can help clean. We can help clean and be clean ourselves, and then let God use us to clean others. Not only that, but Proverbs chapter 25, we can refresh someone. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 13 and 25. It's a cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Verse 25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. It's refreshing when you meet a clean Christian. It's just refreshing. You meet a Christian that hasn't been stagnant, that hasn't been contaminated. They're just vibrant and they're alive and they're clean and they're fresh. It's refreshing and encouraging. I think that's why we as men that went to Puerto Rico were encouraged by the simplicity and yet the refreshingness of some of the Christians that we met. And something else about water. You know, water can be used as a tool, as a cutting instrument. It can penetrate. Water can cut through rock. Without a gutter on the roof, water will drip long enough, and after a while, it will cut a groove in the sidewalk below it. Water carved the Badlands. Water carved the Grand Canyon. Water carved all the caves we got around here. Water, when it's got power behind it, is awesome. Who's the power behind water? God. And if we'll let God use us and get behind us, we can cut through rock. And it's really him, isn't it? It's not so much the water as it is him. He can use us in positive ways to penetrate and to make a difference. And as Jacob told Reuben, you're unstable as water. You know what, God? Only God can do this. God can make water stable. He walked on it. You know that song, Prone to Wander? Lord, I feel it. That's because we're unstable as water. But you know what? When God gets behind us and God empowers us, I'm unstable as water, but God makes me stable. God makes me powerful. God makes me able to clean, and God makes me refreshing to people. God takes his power and infuses it in me and changes me to be something special instead of just a waste. I just want to encourage you with that tonight. Don't let your water be used the wrong way. Don't be unstable as water. You young people, I know it's like I used to be a young people. When you're with your peers, there's that pressure that you feel to stay like everybody else. And to not make waves. It's not impressing anybody. It's not making a difference. Be different. So, yeah, but I don't want people to whisper. Listen, I remember sitting in the bleachers during volleyball and watching some of the heads of the school sitting across the floor right behind where my daughter was standing and serving, and they were whispering to each other and laughing, and I know what they were talking about. They're talking about her and her outfit. But you know what? I decided I'm not going to let that anger me, because it's all about teaching her, hey, that's the Christian life from here on out. That's the Christian life from here on out. It's just the way it is. So don't worry about trying to maintain. That's what the world does. They're just natural. They have no spiritual in them at all. They're just going to maintain level. Don't worry about that, guys. Young people, moms and dads, don't let that get to you. Don't worry about that. That's just the world. That's just all they can do is maintain level. But you want to be used of the Lord. Allow God, because he'll do a miracle with water. He's done lots of miracles with water. And he'll demonstrate through you what his power can do and how different and what a difference maker you can be. Let the Lord have his way with your water. Don't be like Reuben. Don't come to the end of your life and have God say, lots of potential, but unstable as water. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, and I pray that moms, dads, young people, we would all be challenged to not be like everybody else. That we'd realize that anybody just about can do all those other things that the world says is important. But help us to realize you can do something with us that the world can't do. Help us not to be like water. Help us to be better than that. We can't do it on our own. We can't make ourselves stand on our own. We can't. Lord, help us to trust you to do it. It's not in our own power and our own strength. We're just water. We're just like sheep. But with your power, we can be something that is special, something that is useful and a true refreshing blessing. May you use us. May we be accessible and useful to you, and not being worried about whether or not we stick out, but instead desiring to stick out for the right reasons. In Jesus' name, amen.